I just want to give you the thought that's upon our heart. Genesis chapter 22. If you find your place, we'll stand with us. We'll read together. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, did not say that God will provide for himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb or a and so I believe Abraham, as he's walking up the mountain here, he's walking up this place, I believe his mind is not just right here, and they're on Mount Moriah, but I believe his mind is going into the future, and he's thinking about what God is going to do in days ahead. So he said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid in the wood, weighed the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son Isaac, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You can be seated. When we look at this scripture, in the light of what we've been talking about out of Genesis, and we've been dealing with seeing Christ in the Old Testament, types and pictures and shadows and symbols, I guess Genesis 22 is one of the most clearest pictures that we could see of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the Old Testament. Isaac, a type of Christ. So you look at this scripture. Now, a mind or an individual with a worldly and not a spiritual mindset would say, well, that's awful cruel of God to ask him or tell him to sacrifice his own son. Well, this is a test of Abraham. There's only one thing that Abraham loved more than his son, and that was God. You look at the test of Abraham here, And it's important that we know several things about what God had told him to do. Tom Hayes years ago, way back in the 80s, I guess it was, that preached a message and he wrote a little booklet on it. God's not wanting your Isaacs. He's just wanting more of you. And what God was aiming at getting was not Isaac, but God was aiming at getting Abraham, more of Abraham. But Abraham knew, as we talked this morning, we preached this morning, that God had made him a promise. Abraham believed God. And the Bible tells us that he had a child. His faith was counted to him for righteousness, imputed to him for righteousness, because he believed God, that God was able to give him a child when they were both basically dead. 100 years old, 90 years old, how could a man and a woman have a child at that age? It's impossible. Well, when you look in Hebrews chapter 11, and we have the account of the many women and men of faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, in verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, that means tested, God was going to test him here, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. But it goes on to say in Hebrews 11, verse number 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Abraham knew, and this was the only other son that he was going to have. Abraham didn't have any other children. There was no more seed after Isaac. And so if Isaac was gone, the promise that God had made Abraham of a great nation and a seed would be completely null and void. But here's what Abraham believed. Verse number 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, talking about Isaac, even from the dead, from whence whence also he received him in a figure. Now, he realized what God was asking him to do. And in Abraham's mind, as he goes up there on that mountain to offer his son to be a sacrifice, he's all along, while he's making that trip up that mountain, he's remembering that promise that God had made him. He's thinking about it. He's dwelling on it. Yeah, even maybe he's dwelling on Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 too, for that promised seed that is to come. And that is on his mind. And he realizes that he comes to the conclusion, if I go up here and it really takes place, and God does not stay my hand, he said, I know that if I slay my son, that God will raise him up again. He had that much trust and confidence in God that God would keep his promise to Abraham. He said, if I go up here and I put a dagger in his heart, God is going to raise him up again. I know he will. He believed that. He believed that God's promises. Boy, would to God we could get to that place in our life. We say, Lord, whatever you ask of me, whatever you desire of me, I'm going to do it because I know that you're God. I know that you do right. I know you'll not disappoint me. I know that you'll not fail me. Let me just say this. God was not going to fail Abraham because Abraham had believed what God had said. Let me just say this. You put your trust in him and you leave your soul hanging in the balance and in completely resting upon him. God will not let you down. He will not disappoint you if you hang every fiber of your being on his care. Amen. Just trust him. You say, preacher, I can't trust him. You better learn to, because Abraham did. Abraham learned to trust God. And certainly, it will pay off. But this is a test of Abraham. But I also want to notice tonight, that's a testimony of Almighty God. God has given us a testimony here. And I've been preaching about it. It's those types and pictures found in the Old Testament. Now, the Bible says that God did tempt Abraham. God was not tempting him to do wrong, but God was testing him to do right. God tests us sometimes. It's not to see whether we'll do wrong or not, but see how right we're going to do. God never tempts anybody to do wrong. But here we find that God is wanting to get more of Abraham. So he says here, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And so God knew that Abraham loved Isaac. But I want to say this, that it was God's desire that Abraham love him. That Abraham loved God more than he loved Isaac. And I want to say, God's desire for us. God doesn't want your Isaacs, as the song says. You say, well, I'm afraid God's going to take away something. It's not the things that you've got. God's not wanting your money. God's not wanting your talent. God's not wanting your treasure. He's not wanting the things that you... He's wanting you, so He's wanting. God is wanting you more than anything else. That's right. Your affection, your desires, and your loyalty. But I find here there's a whole lot more preaching in here than I could ever get done in one night or one day. The Bible tells us that it shows us here that he talks about a passion here. I want to say this shows us the passion between Abraham and Isaac. That there was an individual that Abraham loved just as much, or at least Abraham loved more than his son. He was willing to give up his son, that which he loved. And God knew that for the sake of God. I want to say, when we look at our Heavenly Father, we can't measure the love that He has by no means. But I want to say, the affection of God and the love of God was to us. Now, Rudy Smith preached that message years ago. What does God value more than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And it certainly was us. And I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or anything whatsoever. But you got to understand the love of God. That God so loved us that He was willing to give His Son. I'm telling you what, it's an equal love or greater. That's hard for us to understand. Don't try to get wrapped up in that. You say, well, God doesn't love... Guess God loves Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, He loves us a whole lot. Thank God. And that just amazes me. And so in order for Abraham to be willing to do this, he had to love God more than he loved Isaac to give him away, to give him up. You can get some deep stuff right there. You say, does God love us more than He loves Jesus? Listen, you read the Scripture and find out for yourself. That don't make us be able to flip our suspenders out and say, look at me. No, it ought to make you feel love. It ought to make you feel grateful. It ought to make you be full of gratitude. Hey, that God would love me to that magnitude and to that extent. Amen. Thank God. We know that God loved Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot more said about God's love toward us in the Bible than there is God's love towards Jesus. You take that for what it's worth. And I'm not belittling love of God and the relationship between God the Father and God the Son by no means. I just want to say that God loves us to a great extent. Amen. You think about it now. When man sinned against God, who was God willing to sacrifice in order to keep fellowship with? That's right. He knew that in order to do that, to save us, that God the Father and God the Son would have to be separated. God would no longer, those hours on the cross, He was not, would not, could not look at His Son. God was willing to sacrifice His Son instead of sacrificing us. That's amazing. There's the passion, but also see the love that Isaac had for Abraham here. I see also the love, the passion that Christ had for God the Father. God the Son had for God the Father. The passion that He had for Him. In other words, Isaac was willing. He loved his daddy so much. He was willing to do anything that his daddy wanted him to do. And I will say, there was no exception when it came to what Christ would do for God the Father, because He loved Him so much. So we see the passion that they had one for another, Abraham and Isaac, and from a human standpoint. That's just from humanity's perspective. Abraham and Isaac, you know that love. We experience the same thing. But I'm talking about divine love that God the Father and God the Son had with one another. They extended to us, thank God. Let me look at also not only the passion, and I would also talk about the place. And I may not get this done tonight, but we'll look at it some other time. But the place. The Bible tells them in verse number 2, "Take now thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Mount Moriah. Now, I want you to notice something here. When the Bible says there was a ram caught in a thicket, the last of Genesis 22, the story here of Isaac, in verse number 4, I guess it's verse number 13 of Genesis 22, there's a ram caught in the thicket. Now, most of us know the difference. There is a difference between a lamb and a ram. The lamb that mentioned in verse number 7 is not the ram that's mentioned, not the same thing in verse 13. They're two totally different things. He said God will provide Himself a lamb. He didn't say God will provide for Himself a lamb. In other words, Abraham knew that when they got up on the mountain, he wasn't thinking about how God, as far as he was concerned. Listen. As far as he was concerned, he was going to throw down his son and slay him. And God was going to raise him up again. But Abraham was looking way down the road. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David and his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." He built the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. Now, can somebody tell me exactly where Jesus was crucified? It was in Jerusalem. Mount Moriah here is in Jerusalem. Now, verse number 14, he says, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He's talking about what's going to take place in the future. So this passage right here is pointing us to the place, Mount Moriah, the same place that they took. And listen, Isaac was 3 days dead, Abraham, going to Mount Moriah. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says they went on 3 days' journey. As I said before, in Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. God was going to raise him up again in 3 days. Because he knew how long it takes to get to Mount Moriah. There are so many types and shadows here. Isaac carried his own wood that was going to be used for his sacrifice. Didn't Jesus carry the cross up to Mount Calvary, thank God? Amen. Carried his own cross up Calvary's hill. And this is what Isaac is doing. He said, we've got the wood, we've got the fire. He said, but where is the sacrifice? And listen, the sacrifice wasn't about Isaac wasn't the sacrifice that Abraham was talking about. God was the sacrifice that Abraham was talking about, because he said in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. I'm going to tell you what Abraham was doing. He was looking way down through the corridors of time and thinking about what God was going to do on Calvary and give His only begotten Son. Abraham had this seed that God promised him, as we talked about this morning in Genesis chapter 12. But he's realizing also, he knew that Genesis 3:15 seed was going to come through his seed. That's right. He knew there was another seed to come. I believe Abraham was looking that way. We see the passion. We see the provision. That not only we see the place, Mount Moriah, but we see the provision. Now I want you to look at this and we'll be done. The Bible says here, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There's many names of our Lord. Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. God is our banner, Jehovah Nissi. And there's many we could talk about, and I can't remember them all. But here we have Jehovah Jireh. That word Jehovah Jireh in Hebrew language, when you sing the Hebrew name for our Lord, and he calls this place Jehovah Jireh. In other words, he's saying that word Jireh means the Lord who provides. He called it the place where God would provide. Now, what's he talking about? He's not talking about a ram here. As I said, don't get your focus narrowed down to the ram. Certainly, God gave a substitute for Isaac that day, and it was a ram caught in the thicket, but it was not a lamb. But this is Abraham. He said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He called the place of that, the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. That place is still called it. The Bible says, to this day. If you were to go to Jerusalem today, and you could walk up to the place of the skull, Mount Calvary, you could honestly say, not only am I standing on Mount Calvary, but I'm standing on a place called Jehovah Jireh. The place where God provides. Amen. Thank God. So what did God provide for us on that day? God provided for us a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, He became the Lamb of God. God provided for us a substitute for sinners, thank God. Amen. You can be saved today And if you're saved, and you can thank God today that God made a provision for you to be saved. God provided had the sacrifice. God provided the substitute. God provided the place, the hour, and the time. And God provided His Son, thank God, to be the sacrifice for our sins. God did that. Amen. That's right. God did that. Nobody else can take credit for that. Nobody else can lay hold of that. God did that. He called the place Jehovah Jireh. And if we used to look at Calvary today, and I've never been to Jerusalem, maybe one of these days I'll get over there. But it don't matter if I do or not. But I know there's a place called Calvary. There's a place where Jesus was sacrificed on Calvary's brow and where He suffered and died for the sins of the world and became our substitute and became our sacrifice, where God gave His Son. And I may never get there physically, but I have been there spiritually, thank God. I've been to that place. I've nailed to the place where the grace of God was manifest. I've nailed to that place at Calvary, and I found myself delivered. And I'm no longer under the condemnation of death as Isaac was. And I'm no longer the one going to have to suffer. And I'm not going to have to die because there was one that died in my stead and in my place. Thank God. Bless His good name that tonight. Thank God for the God that provides and has provided. Amen. And is provided. Providing right now. Amen. So I thank God for a place called Jehovah Jireh. So we see the passion. We see the place. We see the provision. God did it. And we get to enjoy, thank God, the benefits of the work done at a place called Jehovah Jireh. Because God did that. Amen. God done that. Let's all stand.